It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Yo, what up? Welcome to another episode of the Oakland Warriors podcast. I'm Patrick, and today I am joined for the first time this season by a frequent guest, Randy Dumoulin. What's up, Randy?
What's up, Patrick? Good to hear from you. Excited to be here. Not so excited for the next game, but let's get into it, man.
Oh, well, I'm excited for the next game because you just want to put the bad games, and they're collecting the bad games behind you. And but we'll see. We'll see. I hear what you mean. This team, they had one of the worst losses I've seen in their, I guess, technically this is still the dynasty, right? As long as the core is still intact. But I mean, like, real quick, what were your impressions just of that game? Quick thoughts.
Man, I just wish it ended after halftime, you know, like even before halftime, you know, it was a 24-point lead or something, and they cut it down to 17 at half. And I don't know, you could tell that you just couldn't get too comfortable in the second half. And I was looking at stats after the game. It was the first time, I think, in either for that or for the Warriors or for a team in general, that they committed 20 plus turnovers and gave up 40 or more foul shots, which is like obviously not good. So just too many fouls, too many bad possessions on offense. The turnovers are still there, kind of careless with the ball. But, you know, on the other hand, there were other things you could try and be encouraged about, right? Like Moody looked really good. Steph is still Steph. It pretty much ends there. But Moody is still Moody is cool. It's fun to watch Moody.
Well, how did Clay and Wiggins, what were your thoughts on them in that game? Because, you know, they both got into the 20s.
No, yeah, it was a really good, I think, first three quarters for them. Wiggins, I think, is probably the best game he's played all year. I think he ended up with like 29. He was super physical. He had some and-ones. He wasn't just settling for, you know, his rhythm middle, you know, midi or the pull-up three. Was playing as good a defense as you could on Fox. I mean, Fox is going to get around pretty much anyone, right? And I mean, with Clay, it was like there are other areas of his game. Everyone wants to get on his shooting, right? But I think he's been an average to even above average passer for, you know, his standard, at least this season. He's found a couple good kind of reads per game. He's one of the only guys that gets Looney involved, but at the same time, you know, it's hard to see him struggle on the defensive end and then want to make that up so bad and try and take, you know, a quick shot or sort of a heat check on offense. Still a better game than he's been playing, but you know, still searching, I'd say.
Yeah, like there's all this chatter post game and that loss, and you know, Moody, he was going off in the fourth quarter, and then Kerr subbed him out for Wiggins. But a lot of the chatter is that you know, he should have left Moody in and maybe taken out Clay. What are your thoughts on all that stuff?
Yeah, no, it was however long was left, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. As soon as you saw someone coming off the bench, you almost knew it was Moody coming out and not. I mean, it could have even been Looney. You know, the Kings were playing small for a majority of their comeback, and you know, all their guys made plays. They were trying to push the pace. Looney is as great as he is at, you know, filling in all these holes that the Warriors have. Like, is probably not, you know, at least for this that version, that lineup for the Kings, probably not the guy. I mean, you could have easily put Draymond at the five and kept Moody out there, put Wiggins back in for defense. And it's, you know, it's hindsight's 2020. So I'm not sure if I agree with, you know, just kind of hard-headed sticking to the vets no matter what. But, you know, but at least in that game, in that situation, I would have kept him in. I think that's kind of the sentiment that everyone shares.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, how are you feeling about Clay right now? We all know that last season he didn't come in to camp in shape. He hadn't played all year. I get that, you know. But this year he was supposed to be in shape. He looked great, quote unquote, from so many people said that in the offseason coming into camp. And, you know, like, do you think it is a contract year, right? Like, right. Do you think, I mean, what do you think Kerr should do with him? There's people who are obviously chirping that, you know, he should get on the bench or play reduced minutes or whatever. And there was that clip that went around. I think Kawakami asked him during a presser a couple days ago about Steve Kerr sticking with the vets. I mean, what would you do if you were Kerr with Klay Thompson right now?
I mean, without changing the minutes, I would probably, you know, if they were going to keep the same rotation, keep him in the starting lineup, I think that just in terms of how he's playing, he's doing a little too much dribbling. He's never been too much of like an off the dribble guy. I mean, he's been more of a post-up guy. I think that's something he could get to more often against, you know, players he has a physical advantage over. But even in today's game where he's guarding threes and fours, like, it's hard to ask him to not be so involved with the offense or not to take the type of shots that he takes, because I don't know. It's like, you're at a weird point where it's like, oh, those are Clay shots, but you're seeing like the type of shot that Steph takes and the type of shot that Clay takes. You know, they used to be relatively on the same, or at least, you know, Steph, I think, has the edge with the dribble stuff and fadeaways, whatever. But, you know, when they would take the Splash Brother type of shot, you kind of had the same feeling. But in the past few years, you know, I think Steph has continued that, and Clay, you're never quite as sure anymore. It feels different when he takes kind of that early heat check, or that he's really, you can tell he's really pushing it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I watched a YouTube video of Clay in 2018, 2019. And I mean, obviously he was younger, there's pre-injuries. And I've said many times on this show that when he got hurt, I mean, he was really coming into his own in that season. He's trying to become an all-around player. I thought he was like turning into like Paul George Light, because he was taken to the rack more. And that team was just damn good. Right. I mean, KD obviously opens up a lot more than Andrew Wiggins does. But, you know, you could see that with Clay. And I think I said this last week, and still kind of, I mean, it's true for me, is Clay keeps chasing like who he was back then. And I have a group text with some Warriors fans, and I said this because when he came back, right, I think a lot of people, I know I said this, but a lot of folks had the sentiment that like the greatest fear when he came back was that he would just be like Kyle Korver, you know what I mean? Right. That all he would be with like a spot up shooter. And as he's aging, it's like, oh, maybe he should just be Kyle Korver, you know? and stick it out there, and not try to do too much off the bounce. But it's tough because like he internalizes so much of this. And I mean, these guys, like the core and Kerr, they've been through so much. And this idea that Kerr sticks with his vets a lot, I mean, do you buy that? And do you take any issue with it?
I think, you know, right now they're 8-10. You know, every team is going to lose 10 games. Every team is going to have sort of losing streaks, maybe not lose five or six. They lost six straight. But I mean, right now for me as a fan, like it's early enough in the season to stick with the starting lineup, but it's late enough to really start thinking about, you know, a shift, right? Like whether that's in the next five games, the next 10 games. I don't know if you put a number on, oh, if we go 6-4 or 7, you know, I don't know about that. But out of all the seasons that Kerr's been coached, I think now is probably the, you know, the most timely time, you know, situation to make a starting lineup change. Cause it's always been relatively easy to throw out who you want. I mean, you go small sometimes and there's a few different starting lineups they use with injuries and whatnot, but you know, right now is probably the most gray area you've had in terms of who's starting on the wings, who can you throw out there? Like,
yeah, like early on, I would get a lot of YouTube comments about Wiggins and Clay, and I would be like, hey, let's check in quarter way through the season. So 18 games, two more technically till the quarter, more or less. And, you know, they're starting to shake loose a little bit, but I mean, I think that's the thing. You got to, at a certain point, you see who they are, where they are this season, and then you have to, you know, that's where Kerr has to like be better and not be so quote unquote loyal stubbornly to his vets. You know what I mean? Like, I get that he's trying to, you're like, oh, it'll be great to win with these guys. They really need this kind of win. And to, you know, right. Clay needs this and Wiggins needs this. He's had such a good game and whatnot. But then, you know, that cost him, right? Of course, Kerr is not on the court, but like that hot hand was that hot hand. You know what I mean? And you needed right. That win. I was hoping since last week, since the last episode, I was like, oh, you know, you want to go 2-1. Well, they went 1-2, you know, and that's no good, right? Like that's
right.
They're continuing those trends. And now Draymond's back, but also Draymond's back, but then you lose like Chris Paul and then you lose Gary Payton II. And if Gary Payton II is going to get an MRI, he had a calf issue. We know from experience that calves are very scary, right? Like whether it was, you know, KD and his Achilles or Draymond and his back. So like he'll probably be out for a while because he just seems like a guy who when he gets hurt, he's out, you know, for a minute. And then Chris Paul is like 450 years old. And beginning of the season, we were optimistic because it's like, okay, you know, it's like the asterisk is always like health permitting, right? It's it's the disclaimer. It's like when you're on a Wheel of Fortune and they give you those letters for free in the final round, it's like that's the health thing, you know, it's like health. It should spell health. And this is where it could get rough, right? Because I was like, when they're whole again, and after they get their sea legs under them, get into a rhythm, they haven't really gotten their sea legs under them, and they're not going to be whole for a while. So, I mean, what this was almost expected, but not in this kind of all at once type thing. You know what I mean? It was like, oh, okay, maybe CP misses a few games, right? Or maybe somebody goes out, but like them going out and then, you know, some of their starters not playing well, you know, it's a little iffy. Cause then you look at the bench and it's like, okay, Moody looks ready. Kuminga, I mean, you know, there's some funny chatter like back and forth amongst Warriors fans about what should happen to Kuminga. But like, you know, where do you see this team going in the next like month?
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's one of those seasons where like you start off relatively well, 6-2, and you blink and you're 8-10, right? Draymond got suspended for 5 games. It's like you almost pause, you suspend your judgment of kind of the group as a large as those games play out. You go 2-3 over the next month. I mean, depending on how much time Gary Payton misses, whether Chris Paul is out for an extended period. What I hope to see is they play more of Pajemski and more of Moody, you know? I mean, that's you're almost, Kerr's hand is almost being forced at this point, whether, you know, and that's kind of just the situation at hand, right? You hope that Kuminga, I think he's one of the only guys who actually puts some pressure on the rim. You know, a lot of guys settle for jumpers, and that's, you know, just sort of been the norm on this team. But if Kuminga is getting to the line and getting, you know, going downhill, at least I can live with him taking the occasional jumper or you know, getting, I don't know, cooked on defense. I think he, you know, doing more good than bad. It's certainly wouldn't pin too much on him. It's almost like Kerr hasn't allowed him to be out there long enough to like have a major negative impact. It's like he's looked at least interesting in the minutes he's played.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's kind of the thing. Like that's my perspective on Kuminga in the sense that after he got drafted, I said on this podcast, I think he'll be the Warriors' best player in like 4 years. And that was 2021. And you know, like he's turning into you know, one of those players where it's just like, it's either trade him or play him. You know what I mean? It's like people like, play him, he's really good, or trade him, he's no good, he stinks. You know what I mean? But the thing that bugs me about like this Kerr stuff is that, I mean, all last season it was all, you know, let's do what the vets want. You know, that like all the blame went on to the youngsters for the season, during the season. Afterwards, then when they admitted that, you know, the Draymond punch thing affected them more than they claimed. But like, you know, it's when Wiggins was out last year with his personal issue, and then when you know, Peyton was recovering from his injury, it's like Kuminga was really dang good, right? He was kind of lights out for a while, and as soon as those guys got healthier, Wiggins came back, it was like, you know, back to the bench, you know what I mean? And so like, to some extent, I understand getting those guys back into the flow. You need Wiggins. He was your second best player the year before when you won the finals, and Gary Payton needs to get into the flow of things. But he totally just killed Kuminga's like groove and probably some of his confidence. And then all anybody ever talked about last season was Kuminga pouting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't know, like any of these competitors, I mean, if you put Draymond in that position, if he had like gone through what Kuminga did, oh, he'd be pouting if he was like a 21-year-old, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, or a 20-year-old at the time. So, you know, that I think Kerr does have to take some legit criticism for that, because, you know, you watch them play, you know, the barometer for some of these young guys is when they play other teams who have rebuilt and have drafted in the past, drafted in lottery the past few years. And then you see them play OKC, you see them play Cleveland, some guys on Minnesota. And these guys are just like a step behind, you know what I mean? Yeah. And it's not because they're like totally less talented. It's, you know, because they haven't been able to play. And I think if there's a failure this season, who knows? It's early, like you say. But ultimately, it might be like they just didn't get the young guys ready enough when, and, you know, and rode out with like the vets longer than they should have. Somebody was saying to me last week that, you know, they should do the Bill Walsh thing, right? Like, which is like, you know, if you don't remember, or if that was before your time, he would like get off of players early, right? And that's smart. But that's not going to, that wasn't going to happen here. You know what right. I mean? They're not going to move these guys. People can have their opinions, but you know, that's why, I mean, they're not in the front office. So I don't know. It's just one of those things. Ultimately, I always say, hey, they got to win 16 games come, you know, whatever, May, June, right, whenever the playoffs start, and get healthy and whole. If that means coming from the fourth seed, sure. Third, great. But, you know, I think now's the time. It's almost quarter way through the season, you know, to make those adjustments, or else it's just going to be rough. But I agree with you. I think Pods and Moody, I mean, they have to play, especially if CP and Peyton are out, right? Just guard for guard.
I mean, and even looking down further on the depth, you know, the depth chart, Trayce Jackson-Davis, in the limited stints that he's had, I think has looked, you know, more than serviceable, definitely better than the average kind of rookie big in that backup five spot. I know that people are kind of split right now on whether Šarić should be kind of the backup five or whether he's a backup four instead, like just where they are on the court. And it's hard to, you know, if Šarić is at the four, then Kuminga slide to the three. And it's like, you know, there's all these different combinations you can try out, but nothing changes if nothing changes, man. Right. Like, I think that it's about time, you know, you're 8-10. It's not, the season's not lost. You know, you're not 3-15, but I think it's, you've seen what you've seen from the group kind of as constructed. And if you have the guys ready to play, I mean, last year it was a matter of like, well, is Ryan Rollins, Patrick Baldwin, Iguodala's out. Like you had three or four spots that like you could count on specifically not contributing. Right. But with right. this season, it's like, whether they're rookies or not, like they want to play and you probably need them more at this point. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, these rookies, as we know, are like way more prepared to play than Baldwin or Rollins,
right? And in general, it's like it's hard to see a good young player develop on the Warriors. I mean, Poole did it almost as a circumstance of Klay's injury, right? If Klay was healthy, mm-hmm. there's no way Poole gets the type of path and kind of runway that he did over the course of a whole season and just kind of a mini rebuild. Yeah, it's hard to watch because you know I don't know. You can't, you know, they can't keep doing what they're doing. It's like the formula has to change. Whether that, I'm not saying fire the coach. I'm not saying, nah. you know, one of these guys, you know, I'm not saying Klay should only get 15, 20 minutes a game, but like it's something's got to, you got to at least try something else, right?
Yeah, yeah. And again, like these injuries might, as you said, force Kerr's hand because he has to play Moody. And if Moody shows out and he continues to show that he deserves playing time, I mean, you're going to have to play him. Right. And that's the thing. What's your stance right now on Jonathan Kuminga? What do you, are you on the side that play him or move him?
I think that when he was drafted, you know, people, the kind of knee jerk reaction was like, oh, is he a Steve Kerr player? You know, does he have the IQ? Does he have the, you know, the passing ability, whatever. And you sort of view him as just like, oh, he's just this like super athlete. You know, some people are like, oh, he's like a volleyball player, right? Like jump out the gym, like unreal athleticism, but can he play in the Steve Kerr offense? And it's like, at this point, maybe you have to change the Steve Kerr offense a little bit to kind of play to some of his strengths in cutting and, you know, getting him involved with Chris Paul in the pick and roll. I feel like over the summer, that's like the main, oh, like they're going to save the bench. It's Chris Paul and Kuminga, third year leap. And I've like rarely seen them even interact on the court together mm-hmm. while they were both yeah. in the game. So it's like you can keep the same principles of, you know, motion and the passing cut, the low post. Like that's not going to change even if you wanted it to. Like they're just going to default into that at this point. But if you can, like, I'd love to see him get more involved. I don't think he's someone that you look into trading now, but he's certainly not in like the right role, you know? So you mm-hmm. want him to be able to do more. I'd say. Mm-hmm.
Do you, just going down this train of thought, like, yeah. do you think that, would you want, like, obviously it would take more assets, but would you want like a Siakam?
I mean, it's hard to think of. I guess the last like midseason splashy move they made was trading D'Lo for Wiggins, if that counts, mm-hmm. right? In the middle of, mm-hmm. of a 15-50 season. Mm-hmm. During any of the playoff years, I can't really remember a huge midseason acquisition or trade.
Gary Payton for Wiseman?
I guess. Basically. Yeah, it's like injured player for
Wiseman for 5 second rounders.
Sadiq Bey for 15 minutes. yeah, it's weird to think about them kind of incorporating someone on the fly, but yeah. of all the seasons to do it, this might be the season to sort of swing for one, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting because I think that there's still a lot of like collective trauma from last season amongst the fan base. I mean, sports fans, Warriors fans, whomever, there's always like this hand wringing and like if you live and die and whatnot and every knee-jerk reaction, like what have you done for me lately, recency bias, whatever you want to call it. But I think like the hope and optimism, it's like, oh no, it's happening again, right? Like, as you said, they're 8-10, and I think it's funny to me because like this is the kind of like freak out you grew up with. If you were a fan when I was a fan, right? It's like just being like, oh, it's not gonna work. Oh, it's gonna be a terrible draft pick. And now we're seeing a little bit of that. But like, yeah, I mean, it's early. It's a rough product, but they look good yesterday up until a certain point. I think Kerr just has to make some clear decisions, some honest decisions, and be honest with himself and his guys and be like, all right, you know, I got to put us in the best position to win. And you could say that with the lead that they had, they should have closed that game, plain and simple. Like, this was a game that they always would close until last year, right? The lost year of 15 and whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, that's what it, what is that? I mean, a 5-point lead in like in less than a minute, that's good as gold, right? Because like there's a formula for that, right? You play hard defense, you get Steph the ball, he gets fouled. That's how those things end. But you know, but again, also we got to face the reality. I mean, we know this, but this never, ever, ever going to be a world beater team ever again. You know what I mean? Right. Like that, you know, when I went back to watch the 2018, 2019 Clay highlights, I was like, God, that team was so good. And the ball moved so quickly and the back cuts were so crisp, everything. Obviously KD, like, you know, you have Livingston, Andre Iguodala, all the vets, it was insane. So, you know, they're dealing with different stuff right now. And this is just a function of that, like that the old guys are getting older and they didn't bring along the young guys fast enough. So maybe time to change that up a little bit.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Real quick, a couple comments. I think it's pronounced Skybound. What's going on, mate? You see what I was saying? Oh, yeah. He posted a lot on last week's video. And or she. Sorry, I don't know you. You know, a lot of the stuff that we're talking about showing up in the past week. So as James Dean fellow, I think this all falls on Kerr for not controlling the team and making bad decisions on the rotations during the game. Yeah. I mean, you know, he's the coach. He made those calls and those calls did not work out for him. So even though he wasn't on the court, ultimately, like, you know, your decisions, you have to live with them, and your pattern of decisions are going to be questioned no matter what. That's as Steve Kerr likes to say, whenever like a player is involved in trade talks, that's part of the job. That's what the money's for, you know? So let's see. In terms of Draymond, I want to talk about him right quick. You know, he said a few days ago when he came back at his press conference, he said that he was he doesn't regret his actions against Rudy Gobert. I mean, you got a vibe on that? You got thoughts on that?
I mean, I wasn't surprised. I mean, you can't expect him to come out with like an apology video, right? Like, he punched Poole last year and made like a mini documentary out of it. Like, I'm surprised he didn't. I'm surprised he didn't like lean further into it. I'm not surprised with how he handled it. I'm surprised he only got 5 games. I was kind of bracing for like 8 to 10, just, I mean, because of it's Draymond. But, you know, out of all the players on the team, like, it was so apparent last night that he's necessary to the competitive formula, even though they blew the lead and he wasn't part of that. You know, he was rusty. He's getting back into it. He had a really key late fourth quarter turnover. I mean, they were up 24 because of him, right? He was getting Wiggins involved. I mean, Clay looked really good for a majority of the game. So it's one of those guys where it's like, you need him on the court, you just like, and you're just going to take him as he is. Like, I've accepted him for the fiery, competitive, divisive kind of villain persona that he's worked for in his career.
Yeah, I've said many times that I'm pulling for Dre. Obviously, between the lines, outside of the lines, I just tune it out at this point. You know, yeah. I mean, I get like he's speaking to Rudy Gobert and the comments that Gobert made after the fact, right? The fact that like calling him a clown show or whatever it was, and saying, you know, a terrible chokehold or whatever. Right. So, I mean, it is what it is. Like, but it's also just like, okay, if you're going to play the heel the rest of your career, then I guess just might as well lean into that. But like, you know, the idea that when he's talking about how like he is not, he's getting penalized for old stuff. I mean, that was, I would argue, I would agree with him previously, right? But like right now, it's like, it's hard to really agree with that, right? Because the league can do what they want, what it wants, and legit, like, you know, he didn't get enough of a punishment last year for smacking pool, so they just levied a little bit more on him. And the whole point of increased punishment is because you continue to to act up on stuff, you know what I mean? But right, it is what it is, and he is who he is. I think I've said this before, that the whole like, oh, I play with fire, it's what got me here. But it's like, dude, man, like, we all got fire, but you know, we gotta do our jobs and stay on the court, you know what I mean? Like, after all these years, ain't you figured it out yet? But you know, I will also say he had some quote, I don't have it verbatim, but like he would said something about he will always protect a teammate. And I think anyone who read that line or heard that line was like, huh? Really? Anyway, a teammate without the initials JP. I thought that was hilarious, but you know, it is what it is. I just don't want him to get these texts, and I want him to help the team win from you know, opening tip until the final buzzer, not necessarily like for three quarters and then get a tech, whether or not it is a questionable tech. It is what it is. Let's see. So only how Draymond. Concerned was that?
The only Draymond, man.
Yeah, yeah. So let me ask you, on a scale of 1 to 10, how worried are you right now?
I would say like a solid 6.5. You know, if 10 is like fire Kerr, trade Kuminga, bench Clay, like if that's like the full other side of the spectrum, and 0 is like, it's just early season vibes, they're shaking the rust off, like I don't think anyone feels that way. But I would, yeah, 6.5, 7. You'd have to lose, yeah, you'd have to have a couple more really bad losses, but you've had a few. Yeah. Like, it's enough to start some type of preliminary, you know, alarm or signal some type of change. So
yeah, I think like again, it depends on if there's any adjustments coming up. Because I'll be honest, like my feel right now is like, okay, this is some of the same stuff we've seen, right? We thought it was all different. Mm-hmm. And there is obviously some different stuff, some good different stuff, but it's like, okay, they're slogging it out with the same thing right now. And what adjustments can Kerr make? And that's what I'm hoping for. That's what, I guess, if I had to go a scale of 1 to 10, I would put it on a 5 with an asterisk saying like, let's see what the rotations are and how long Gary Payton's out. Just because if he's out and if CP has something kind of lingering,
right,
then all the like, oh yeah, they figured out how to reduce turnovers by having Chris Paul, and they don't have Jordan Poole anymore running the second unit, and you know, ton of assists, all that stuff. That's out the door. You know what I mean? Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's a long season, as I've always said. But even last season, I was like, well, let's get to 20 games, you right. know. And but at least last season, the vibes were way worse, way different. Let me see. Got a couple comments here. HP says, I want the team to reset with a new coach and trade everyone besides Draymond and Steph. That is a true Warriors fan through and through. Yeah. And then continue to say, go for one last push for his hell by trading future first round picks. I don't trust this front office to pick good talent now. I disagree with that, because I give Mike Dunleavy the benefit of the doubt, because he moved Poole. He moved Poole's contract. He got Chris Paul, who has worked. We knew he was going to get hurt at some point. It just depends on how long. Chris Paul's contract is very malleable. You can get rid of him really easily. And his draft picks of Trayce Jackson-Davis and Brandon Podziemski have been really impressive for where they were drafted. So I will take issue with that. Jay Carey says LTMFB. I don't know what that means. So, but thanks anyway. And then Black Eddie says, when are we calling out the coaching staff? Kerr has a dozen assistants. I mean, we're continuously getting outcoached. How many three-guard line of disasters does it take to get through your thick head? I mean, yeah, I mean, that's we do think that, like, there are ways that Kerr has always coached his team, and he continues to do so. I think throughout this episode, this podcast, like, we've talked about how Kerr needs to make some adjustments, and he's going to be forced to because he's going to be missing two of his favorite subs, with Chris Paul and Gary Payton. So, yeah, you have to change things up, but also you got to look at the personnel. You know what I mean? Yeah, I look at the personnel and, you know, what bigger dudes you're going to put out there. I say play Kuminga some more. You know, we'll see. Because I thought this team was built more for the old head teams, like the Clippers, like the Suns, like the Lakers. And that's why they got roasted by the younger teams, because they're just too long, too fast, and unafraid. And that's the thing. I think a lot of teams are unafraid of the Warriors at this point. You know what I mean? So, a few more comments here. I'd say we just need to keep the team we have and had the best of luck. It's true. I might look into trading Kuminga for or Moody for when that moves, but I'm not in panic mode yet. I'm not in panic mode either. I'm just like, I'm just like tired of this mediocrity, to be honest. Right. You know, like, this is Draymond's antics are costing the team. This is Black Eddie again. He just doesn't get it. Honestly, I see him flaming out like Robin dude. He might, you know, light the MFB. Yeah. Light that beam. The Kings won. You all deserve that. So the Kings are one of my, I think I said last year, if the Warriors got eliminated in the playoffs, I would be pulling for the Kings. So no hate there. Let me ask you, Randy, as we get to the quarter season mark, what are some of your, not to be too negative, your biggest disappointments so far?
Oh man. Well, okay. I think that you can start just with the starting lineup. You know, I'd say that, you know, it's supposed to be the best one in the league. You had this, you know, positive net rating, whatever, 2 years ago. And
what is it now? Jeez. Anyway,
I don't want to know. For whatever reason, right? It's not working this year, and they have taken some time. You know, some people are like, oh, Wiggins missed some time to come into camp, or Clay is in a contract year. It's weighing on Clay. Like, you know, regardless, like, it, you got to put out a competitive group of five guys. Like, and it's funny because I feel like the way that this season started and the way that last season started might be the average now. You know, like, you might just have to slog your way through the regular season as Steph, you know, goes out gracefully and goes out through his late prime. But you think about that 18-2 start to 2021-22, that was when Clay was still hurt, you know, Poole was starting. Maybe you put Moody in a spot like that now and see what happens. Like, it's going to look different. It should look different. I would like it to please look different. Like, it's time.
Yeah. 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 What would be, I kind of asked you this, but I'm going to ask you definitively, what would be the move you would make right now? Like, in terms of, you know, rotations.
For me, it's get Moody into the starting lineup, you know, and not permanently, but like, give him 5 to 10 games, you know, of just seeing different matchups, seeing different opponents, whether that means you bench Looney if you really don't want to take Clay out of there. I mean, whether that means you try out a few games with Clay coming off the bench, I think it's you get Moody into that starting lineup as any way he gets, in any way you can.
Yeah.
Because I just think he's too consistent, too, you know, reliable to pass up at this point. You know, you look at how he played in the fourth quarter, came in with like zero no run prior in the game, barely, right? He comes in, gets a dunk, he hits those two threes. He's been getting deflections all year. Like, I think that he's more than earned, you know, at least a quality look in the starting lineup, and not just spot starter, not just because GP2's injured. Like, he should be there.
And then let me ask you, on the positive side, what have been some pleasant surprises for you?
I would say the first one would be Dario. I mean, I was coming in, you sort of had that blueprint of Otto Porter, Bielitsa, like, just come in and shoot some threes, man. Like, you're tall, you're going to be pretty open. And I think he's done that and more. Like, I didn't realize he had so much kind of, I wouldn't call it deceptive athleticism, but it's just like kind of sneaky handle, you know, attacking other bigs from the perimeter. You know, he has that behind the back he loves to get to. He's driven and had some really nifty finishes around the basket. So definitely more than just, you know, the stretch big kind of archetype that maybe you thought when he was coming in. That's one of them. I'd say that both rookies together, I mean, you drafted, you know, more experienced 3 or 4 year guys, but even at that, like, it's hard for them to come in and make the impact that they have. It's not like they've had consistent opportunities, but in, you know, the time that they've been allotted, I think Pajemski and TJD have both looked like they need more minutes, you know?
Yeah. I think that covers like what I would have said. I mean, by saying the starters, it was so promising at the beginning of the season, because it's like, oh yeah, the starters they'll get there.
Because it was like they figured out the bench, and the starters are already starters. But now it's like, okay, the bench like looks really good, and the starters are like, you know, where are you at? Like,
yeah,
and now
the bench is missing. Going to miss at least for a little bit a couple of guys, right? Like the two, as we said, Peyton and CP. Do you think that a couple people here, let's see, I would not want to get rid of CP3. He's been great. If we can get a trade for a scorer, come off the bench, we'd be golden to help us. We are deep but fragile. And then the issue is you can't take Clay out because it'll be very hard. So much chemistry will be destroyed. I agree with that. You know what I mean? Because there's so many emo feelings involved right now. And
yeah, it's like he's still getting paid $40 million this year. It's like, what does that do to someone to be making $40 million and to be playing behind this third?
Yeah,
guy? Like, yeah.
And to be like trying to get that next contract, and to see Draymond still being Draymond more or less, and then Steph really still extending his prime, amazingly so. So, yeah, I mean, I think that is a big question. Like, a long time ago, before he got injured, I always imagined Clay would end up being kind of like the Ginobili off the bench guy in his later years, and he still might be. But like, I feel like because he lost 3 years or whatever, two and a half seasons, that he's always going to be like chasing a little bit harder and pressing against like the idea that he's like getting old and feeling old and whatnot. So, you know, that is what it is. But do you think, what do you think the record, I guess I didn't calculate the number of games up until the trade deadline, but how bad do you think it would have to get to like move CP3?
To move Chris Paul? I mean, what are they, 8-10 with him? Has he missed a game yet until he got hurt now?
I don't recall. And again, I'm not saying this because I dislike what he's doing, but he's just big contract that you attach, right?
I don't know if it's moving him specifically, but if you're still kind of hovering at 500 at the end of next month, you know, beginning of the new year, it's either time to like completely go with a different starting lineup if it hasn't already changed, or, you know, make that midseason move that they've never quite tried to swing for, right? It's always been kind of a stick with your guys, ride it out. But I mean, you never know, right? Like this is a different year than they've had. So
new circumstances. Yeah. So in the next week they go, let's see, they get the Clippers at home, on Thursday, Saturday, they get they go to LA to play the Clippers, and then they get Portland next Wednesday at home. So I'm saying again, hopefully 2-1. that's what you want out of that. You know what I mean? The games against the Clippers are gonna be interesting because they're gonna be down a couple guys, and you know, I don't believe in the Clippers, but the Clippers are healthy right now. So we'll see what happens. A couple more final comments. Kuminga needs 35 minutes a game, not trading him as long as Curtis coaching won't be using the young guys, period. I feel that sentiment 100%. And then Flair says, also keep in mind our starting schedule is almost absurd. We've played contenders almost every night.
That is
Clippers
true.
Three times, four games.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, as if you're a longtime fan, you ride or die with every game, but you also understand there's the benefit of having these four titles and riding with these guys for so many years through a dynasty is like, you have doubts, you have questions, but at the end of the day, it's like, they just need to get there and win 16. Not as easy as it used to be, you know what I mean? Even if it's just hypothetical or imagining it, but you know, it's always about being healthy, peaking at the right time. And the key to me, which they did in 2021-22, which they still need to focus on, is getting the new guys and young guys ready for the bright lights of the playoffs. And you know, some of those guys still need some work, and obviously the rookies have never been there before. So I'll still say, you know, when the Warriors aren't, when they're relatively healthy, you know, when they aren't shook by some by a preseason punch from one player but to another, it's you know, show me another team that can like take these Warriors like legit. Yeah, the Lakers beat them. Lakers were better last year, but I'll put an asterisk by that season. Not saying that the Warriors should have won that, but like, I'll still have faith in these guys going into a series. I'm not going to say they're the favorites, but they always have a chance. And hey, maybe that's what Kerr thought when he put all the vets back in. He's like, we're going to win. We always have a chance. So, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the only things that you can kind of boast at this point for them is like this delusional self-confidence, you know, like you've been there four times and no one, I mean, in the past 10 years, like who else other than, you know, LeBron, obviously, and anyone
who's
on LeBron's team. Like it's, they have so much history together that it's hard to see them not coming through, but you know,
yeah. And at the end of the day, it's like, you know, it's Steph wants to go down with his guys, you know, like that's why he picked Draymond over the young guys, over Poole, over Wiseman. That's why it's, I mean, obviously it makes sense on the court as well, but then that's why he picked Peyton, you know, that's why he wants Clay, you know, so we'll see. Some people believe that Steph will move off those guys, but it's like, nah, I don't think so, you know, unless something crazy happens and Draymond has gone beyond doing some crazy stuff. So, you know, we'll see. A couple of things. We lost 9 out of 11. When do you hit the panic button? I don't know. That's my personality. I ain't panicking. Like it sucks. It's not fun to watch. But also it's just basketball, so I ain't panicking about it. Let's see. Flair says he'd hit the button or she, if we lost to bad teams and are in the plant, and by January, at least season, we won this season. We won the games we were supposed to, except for the Kings game we just played. Yeah. So, yeah, my final thoughts are like, it's up to Kerr to make some adjustments. If he doesn't, then, he deserves all the criticism he's going to get for that. Your final thoughts?
Final thoughts. Yeah. I mean, a quarter through the season, it's going to be a slog. I mean, you definitely can't pencil in a top four or even a top five, six seed. Like you might have to brace yourself for like a play-in type run, and they just got to grind it out like that. Maybe they just have to embrace this new, you know, chapter, you know. I mean, it's never going to be as easy as it was in 18, 19, I mean the years before that, So it just has to look different, right? It's time to change.
Yeah, yeah, no, 100%. By the way, like every now and then I'll peek in at Tyrese Halliburton's box score.
Oh my God.
And I was talking to some, he's so good. I mean, like he went for 30 and 15 or something like last week. I don't know. But like on the Oakland Warriors Discord, I was like, I mentioned that. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think somebody said to me, like, yeah, but if he's on the Warriors, if he was drafted by the Warriors instead of Wiseman, Halliburton would still be coming off the bench, right? Yeah. Like on this Warriors team right now. He wouldn't have developed to where he is now. You know what I mean? I mean, that's what happens when you get drafted by a bad team, you know, but still, hey, I get going for titles. You got to sacrifice playing time for the young guys, but last season was a lost season and kind of, yeah, they made it to the playoffs and they got some development, but you know, they might not be threading the needle as best as they should have, would have, could have. But anyway, that's all I got for now. So y'all find Randy on Twitter at randomprod. It's on the YouTube channel if you're looking at this. But yeah, man, thank you for coming on. Hopefully next time you come on, we'll be on like a 14 game winning streak. All right, y'all. Thank you for to everybody who tuned in, and yeah, that's it. All right. Well, that is another episode of the Oakland Warriors podcast. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Feel free to hit me up on Twitter at Patrick E. Pino or at Oakland Warriors. Check out our YouTube channel where you can watch this episode, youtube.com/Oakland Warriors. Check us out at oaklandwarriors.com and be sure to tell your fellow Warrior fan friends to tune in and listen. The Oakland Warriors podcast is produced by National Film Society. And if you're so inclined, please do leave us a 5-star rating on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And if you want to leave us a nice review saying good stuff about the show on Apple Podcasts, that would be hugely, hugely appreciated and it would be very, very helpful. Thanks. That's it.
Music in this episode provided by Paper Sun. Special thanks to Paul Amardo for production support. See you next time.